Hey, it's the Pete here, and there's Jeff over in Japan. Jeff-san.
Minasan, konnichiwa, Jeff desu.
Genki desu ka?
Hai, so desu. Ananta wa genki desu ka?
Genki desu. So this is episode one, the first official episode, I don't know, of...
the first official.
Yeah, Nibaka
Ichiban.
Ichiban. Yeah.
Number one.
Hi. Yosh. anyway, so Jeff and I, in case you didn't listen to last week's episode, we're just a couple of guys who are connected in some random ass way to Japan. I'm a huge Japanophile. Jeff teaches English in Japan.
And, that's correct.
And has how long have you been there again? Eight.
Wow. I have been here... I've been back here. What year is it? It's 2011?
Yeah. Last time I checked.
A little more than 8 years. Or no, it's, let's see. I came back in late 2003.
Mm.
So probably about 8 years back. Yeah. Unbelievable. Time really flies.
It does.
But when you're having fun.
Yeah, exactly. Well, and that's good. So we're just, you know, I'm sort of thinking of this podcast as kind of a podcast for Japanophiles by Japanophiles. That's my thought. Does that sound right?
That sounds good. I think it's a good, you know, central topic. There's a lot of different things we could talk about.
Yeah. You know? Cause it's like, you know, Japan.
I don't know if I'm a Japanophile. I'm just a Japan resident, you know,
well,
I live here.
True, but I mean that
it's
that
definitely
sort of,
increased my interest in the subject.
That's cool, but yeah, and so like, you know, one of the things that is on everybody's mind right now is like, are all the quakes, and it's like, what, how has that been like for you? I mean, here in New York, it's like, I mean, I spent 14 years in LA before I got here almost 3 years ago now, but. But even in 14 years in LA, I only experienced like one fairly minor quake. And I moved there right after Northridge in 94. So I sort of missed all the fun, in quotes. So, I mean, what's it like? I mean, you said to me earlier that you were like you're kind of getting used to it.
I'm becoming desensitized. You know, we used to have a short quake. Like I said, I think, last time it would last, you know, less than 10 seconds and, you know, maybe once every month, once every 2 months. But now, this morning we had two, what would usually be a big earthquake, you know, just when I was getting ready this morning. Mm. And then today at my job, we were in the gym at school and having a ceremony, having actually our closing ceremony for this school year. School ends in March in Japan.
Wow.
And the new school year starts in April. So it's different. But anyway, during the ceremony, we had a huge earthquake that it was actually a big earthquake in Ibaraki Prefecture, but it felt even bigger in the gymnasium because it just rattled. You know, we were having this ceremony and it was quiet and just everything was shaking.
Not sorry to interrupt, but prefectures, I mean, that's basically like a state.
It's like a state, yeah.
In the U.S.?
And, you know, off the top of my head, I don't know how many prefectures there are, which is really embarrassing. but
it's okay.
Major ones around here, I'm in Chiba, obviously. Hmm. And then there's, you know, Tokyo, and then Saitama.
So Chiba is like its own prefecture. I didn't realize
it's its own prefecture, yes. Huh. And if you look actually at Japan, on the east coast, it's the most eastern part of Japan is Chiba.
Wow. So now is there a difference? Is there like a Chiba city as well as a Chiba prefecture?
Yeah. The capital of Chiba is Chiba City.
Oh,
it's
wow.
Chiba-shi, yeah.
Huh.
Which I've actually never been to Chiba City. I went through there. I passed there on the train. But, you know, what's that novel? It's by William Gibson. It's set in Chiba City in the future.
Huh. You mean, I don't know which one. I've only
read. Like the one where he termed the, like, what did he coin the term? Like internet? No, not internet. Interzone? No, that was William Burroughs. Cyberspace. That's right. Yeah. He said it in Chiba City in the year, like, I don't know, somebody. Please leave a comment if you know. Yeah, because I haven't read this book, you know. But I've never, I mean, I've gone through there, but I've never actually been to Chiba City. But yeah, so there's Chiba, and of course the capital of Tokyo is Tokyo.
Right.
And I think the capital of Saitama is actually Saitama City. Hmm. And then Kanagawa is the other major prefecture, Kanagawa,
okay,
which the you know is where Yokohama is.
Ah, cool.
So those are kind of the major ones, and then, you know, There's many others, of course, but yeah, they're like states.
So where did the today's quake happen? Ibaraki?
In Ibaraki Prefecture.
Ibaraki.
And I think the capital and the most famous city is Hitachi, which is, you know, there's
the
Hitachi Corporation. Right. Yeah. And the old name of Ibaraki is Hitachi.
Huh.
But there was a quake in Ibaraki today, and it definitely rattled our gymnasium. It was
wow.
Like, you know, we had these big lights on the ceiling, and they were, you know, kind of metal lights, and they were shaking, and I thought they were going to fall. But it's been just nonstop. You were talking a little bit about this earthquake map.
Mm. Oh, yeah, yeah. Actually, I wanted to let me see if I can find that real quick. Somebody posted this this amazing map on Twitter. Let me just look it up real quick because I retweeted it. They sort of time lapse you or time travel you through the last couple of weeks in terms of earthquakes on this map of Japan, and it's literally just like it's a really easy to your easy URL to remember. I just can't remember it. Where is it? I can't find it.
Well, it's just been, I mean, it's like
quake
I've lost
map or track. Or Japan quake map or something like that. Anyway, I'm sure you could Google it. Here it is. Yeah, japanquakemap.com. That's exactly what it is. And it basically shows you, you know, as you pass quickly through the past 2 weeks, where all of the over 700 quakes appeared on the map. It's just insane to look
wow.
at.
Wow. And these are some of these. Like, I'm not sure the technical difference between an aftershock and
yeah,
a new
either.
Quake, but they're saying these are new quakes because they're getting their own measurements of magnitude.
Wow.
Like, the one today, after we finished the ceremony that we were having, they turned on the TV in the teacher's room, and we saw, there was a quake in Ibaraki. But I've definitely – I said to you earlier when we were just chatting – before mm-hmm. recording this, you know, I used to check Twitter.
Right.
Every time, I wonder where that – and now I'm just getting kind of apathetic. It's like, oh, there's another one, you know.
right.
So well, I don't even check anymore or even post, you know.
That's funny. Because
it just kind of the thrill of posting, oh, another quake, just kind of – who cares? Like every message like says that. So.
Yeah. There's a the guy, Alex Brook, he's British guy. He's been in Japan for a bunch of years. He does a podcast, a learning Japanese podcast that I listen to.
Oh, wow.
It's really fun. It's really informal, but it's really fun. He's actually a musician as well. And, but he I guess he was on vacation in Australia during the quake. And so he tweeted,
wow.
He got back like yesterday, the day before, and he tweeted, something about, he's like me : oh my god, it's a quake, and then he then says everyone : so or something like that. It's like, you know, every like basically, you know, pointing out how behind the times he is, you know, and how everyone else has been like, you know, totally used to it or gotten totally used to it, and he's still just like completely freaking out by it. So.
Because, he wasn't used to it being like an hourly occurrence.
Yeah, right.
But, you know, this is going to sound really strange, but I'll just say because it was the first thing I thought of is I would have been really sad if I had been on vacation and missed the biggest earthquake in 1,000 years. Now, I'm not making any light about people who were, you know, killed. But in this region, it was just kind of like missing – the most exciting thing that's happened probably the whole time I've been here as far as like world news and I mean, you know, but maybe.
Sure, sure, sure.
Yeah, maybe I don't want that to be taken the wrong way. Like,
no,
I would be totally sad if I was a longtime resident and I left, like, during, the excitement.
Like, you know, it would be like not being in New York for 9/11. I mean, that's sort of how I felt. Like, I wish I could have been there to be strong and, you know, try to, you know, help people and that sort of thing. So, I mean, that did disappoint me to a certain degree. I mean, you know. But so I understand what you mean. But if anybody listening or Jeff, if you want to check out Alex's podcast, he's at learnjapanesepod.com. And
learnjapanesepod.com.
I do recommend it. He does a lot of mixed media stuff. So some episodes are audio, others are video. It's definitely fun. He has he and another person, Beb. She's also a musician, and she'll help him. And I think Waka, a few other people. Have helped him out over the years. But it's definitely worth checking out his podcast. And you can also check out alexbrook.com. His website is Brook, B-R-O-O-K-E, I believe. So.
Wow. I'm writing all of this down.
Cool. But anyway, yeah, he's a real cool guy too.
Sounds fun. I learned a new word this week, actually.
Cool. What's that?
And it's what I love. It's a loan word. It's a cognate. The word is corabo.
Corabo.
Do you know corabo?
Is that short for collaborate?
This is the Jeff and Pete corabo. There was a student, and this student had like a little like plastic folder, and it had like Hello Kitty and Elmo together. I guess it was some like the two products, you know.
Right.
And the student said,
"Sanrio and Sesame Street."
And I said, "Oh, that's right. What's the company that does Hello Kitty?
Sanrio.
And And they said collabo, and I was like, "Ah, collaboration."
Cool.
You know, so
that's funny.
I thought I was definitely going to mention that since this is a collaboration.
Yeah.
I love the words.
The funny thing about Japanese, real quick, is just that, you know, there are a lot of words that, you know, that sound like Japanese words, but really it turns out they've just been imported and sort of morphed a little bit to fit into the way their alphabet or the way their language actually works. There were a bunch of times when I was taking my class where, you know, we'd go, "Hey, what's the word for this?" And like celebrity, serabu. And we're like, "Oh, Serabu, wow, cool." And then we're like writing out, I'm like, "Hey, that's just like celebrity, only shorter and a little different." And she's like, "Yep." And I'm like, "Oh, damn it." Anyway.
They're cognates. It's kind of like karaoke is karaoke.
Right, yeah.
Or karate is karate. But what's really interesting here, I find, is there are words that are loan words, but they're not loan words from English.
Mm.
They're like, from other language, which is really interesting.
Well, like,
you know,
bread, right? Isn't bread pain?
And pain.
Yeah, that's French bread.
That's French. Okay, yeah. I actually didn't know.
Ah.
I didn't.
Cool.
But I know, like, what's the thing they have here? It's like bomb kuchen. And it's actually basically it's German tree cake, right? Because, you know, like Baum is like old Tannenbaum is like, oh, Christmas tree in German.
Right.
And anyway, this is like this German tree cake. But, you know, I had never seen it. And then when I went to Germany, it's like – I don't know how it's pronounced in German. If anyone can speak German, I apologize. But it's like Baumkuchen or something they pronounce it. But here it's just popular. I guess it came over from Germany and it's – you know, so there's a lot of words like that.
Yeah. Cool. I was reading something about on Twitter about the latest earthquake-related scare thing was yellow radiation. Have you heard about this? Falling from the sky?
You know, I couldn't believe that you posted that because actually this morning when I woke up, I noticed there was a lot of pollen outside. And you said it's cedar pollen.
Yeah, that's what I read. I just retweeted somebody else actually.
A lot of people actually have allergies to that, but yeah, my first thought was like, you know, what's that yellow powder outside, you know, that's my so front funny. Door? And then I noticed it was on the door too. So, but I had not heard anybody thought it was radiation.
Yeah, some people thought it was radiation. Well, you know, you guys have cedar pollen. We've got snow on the ground here. So in New York, although I'm sure it's melted by now, but when I got up this morning, there was snow on the ground. So all sorts of weird things falling from the sky these days, both in Japan and in America. So, but anyway, I just was curious if you had seen that, but that's cool that you, that's interesting. That you
I actually seen. Did. I couldn't believe that you posted that because I noticed that this morning and it just seemed like there was more than usual. Like I remember, you know, growing up in Georgia, there was always a lot of like yellow pollen on the cars, but I don't remember seeing it here. So it was maybe there was just more than usual.
I don't know,
right. but a lot of people have pollen or, you know, allergies to the cedar trees. It's
And that's a good reason to be concerned when there's excessive pollen. But I don't, I think we're just so, I think everybody in Japan and around the world are actually, I'm sure, is just a little too sensitive to radiation concerns right now. But anyway, I'm sure we could go on for quite a while talking about all that stuff. And we're already at, coming up at 16 minutes. So let's move
Gotta
on
keep
to our
moving.
Next topic here. Don't want this to go too long. You wanted to talk, or you had mentioned about talking moving, finding an apartment in Japan, or I guess specifically Tokyo.
Oh, wow. Yeah, it looks like I'm going to be moving soon.
Cool.
And wow, that's just not something you look forward to.
No.
It's probably –
in any country.
Of all the things you'll probably want to do in Japan, moving is not one. And I was just trying to make a list today of things that I should have done when I moved last time.
That's a good idea.
That I didn't think about. Mm-hmm. And you know, I picked a place that was very far from the train station, which is, you know, you want to get, you know, as close to the train station as possible.
As a New Yorker, I understand that completely. You don't want to be too far from the subway. We're only a few blocks, and it's still too far, in my opinion.
Yeah, I mean, I would say 10-minute walk maximum, 15 maybe. Mm-hmm. But I've got like 20 if I'm going pretty fast, 25 if I'm slow. Mm-hmm. And it's just like, you know, you do it every day, you know, and it really, of course it costs more the closer you get to the station, but
sure.
Wow,
but
it's
kind of,
I think
worth
it's
because you save time, right?
Well, you know, the train is so dependable here. The train is just on time every time. So you can plan by train, you know, like if you get on a train, you know how long it's going to take. But with walking, you know, some mornings it's raining, some mornings it's snowing, some mornings you're just, you know, tired, your shoes hurt or whatever. It's just always something. So, but yeah, I got a nice apartment, but probably a little bit more expensive than I should have. I got a bigger place. And a little bit far. The other thing I was going to say is close to a convenience
store, sure,
or a supermarket, because the other thing is not only am I far from the train station, but this is where I get to complain. It seems like, but I'm very far from the supermarket. So if you have a lot of things to carry, that's a pain.
Yeah.
Or should we say a mendokusai.
Mendokusai. Yeah.
Yeah. And then finally, I was thinking also dry cleaners, because that's something else. If you don't have a car, you know, you have to carry the groceries and it's raining and they're heavy. And then you just had your suit, you know, dry cleaned, and then, oh, it's pouring down rain. You don't have an umbrella, whatever. So I think close to the train station. So that might mean you want to actually just live a station farther, where it's cheaper but still close to the station.
Right.
Because it's actually faster. Like if I had moved a little bit further out, and I had only moved like maybe 10 minutes away by train, I still could have gotten, you know, where I was going faster.
Right.
And then also just make sure there's things around you. So if in the middle of the night you're hungry and you realize you don't have any food, you know, you don't have to walk 25 minutes to get to the but at the same time, I've got a lot of exercise, so
that's good too. But you
boy,
know,
that was just me complaining, wasn't it?
No, that's fine.
But it is important to think about those things.
Absolutely.
You know,
Yeah, and but, those are all good points. And I mean, like I said, those are good points for anybody who lives in any city. You know, you want to live near convenience. You know, you want to live near a place where you can buy food and where you can get places easily. You know, I mean, unless you're an LA person, I suppose, but any place else, you know, it's not always, you're not always going to have a car if you live in New York, Chicago, or San Francisco. I don't know what Dallas and Houston are like, but you know, and even in LA, you know, it's like you want to live not too far from the highway, obviously not too close, but it's just, you know, I mean, generally speaking, you know, you want things to be convenient so that you don't necessarily have to, you know, pump the ever more expensive gasoline into your car. You know, to
yeah.
places. I mean, it's like
LA, do you have issues
to walk to the supermarket and walk back? Say again.
It's wonderful. Do you have issues in New York with carrying groceries? I mean, is it? You said you're a couple blocks from the subway station.
Yeah.
Do you when you buy a lot of things, it's like. Because I feel like if I'm carrying a lot of stuff, I just want to go home and put it down. Like it kind of – it's not very fun to walk around carrying like
– That's what's nice about being in a relationship, because, you know, you've got a helper. And it's like just last night, Sierra and I, we always shop at this place called Trader Joe's, which I'm sure other Americans will be familiar with it. But it's a healthy – generally healthy food chain. Of supermarkets, and there's the closest one to us is on 72nd. We're on 193rd. So it's like we have to plan for it. We can't just run down. It's not like a block away. We have a supermarket here in our neighborhood, but the prices are a little bit higher and the selection is less, especially when it comes to healthy stuff. So, but yeah. And so like, we'll go down, we'll get like a couple of weeks worth of groceries and we'll be able to carry them in 3 to 4 bags. So, you know, so it's not too bad. When we do need to carry a lot of stuff more than that, we actually have like a wire cart. So I'm sure.
Wow.
I mean, do they have stuff like that in Tokyo? I mean, do you see people like,
you know, they do have, well, maybe not a cart, but they do have rollings. That's a good idea.
Cause it's sort of like standard equipment. Like if you live in Manhattan, especially, you kind of have to have one of these carts because, you know, unless you don't mind paying for delivery.
On the other side of town, and I'll see like a store that has, you know, great prices on something, and I just think, you know, that's great, but I just can't carry it, you know, like if I'm carrying other stuff, it's a real issue. You know, when I was growing up and we drove everywhere,
yeah,
and you just put in your trunk, I never even thought about
it.
Yeah,
you
that.
Don't think about it until you don't have a car, and then it's just like, oh crap, how am I gonna get that home?
Very conscious. But the other thing about moving, I don't know how much you know about this, and it would be interesting for me to find out what it's like in New York. But, you know, in the States, as far as I knew, if you want to rent an apartment, mm-hmm. you know, there's a for rent sign and you go and sometimes you pay like a deposit and maybe it's like first and last month's rent.
Sure.
Something like that.
Yeah.
Well, here, you know, you have the famous, you hear about the deposit and the key money. Mm-hmm. And a lot of times the startup cost to get a new apartment can be 3 to 4 months rent.
Wow!
Before you, it's not uncommon to pay $3,000 or $4,000
ahead
just to move to an apartment. Yes,
wow.
And that's the thing that prevents a lot of people from moving, and that's why moving is very stressful because you know the startup costs are just. Yeah, and a lot of times you don't get it back. Some of that that key money is actually just considered a gift to the landlord.
Wow!
It's kind of. System, it's really a scam, and you know, you usually go with a real estate agent. They have real estate agents for apartments,
mm-hmm.
and the other thing is when you renew a lot of apartments after 2 years, you have to renew your lease. You have to pay like another 2 months rent to renew. It's really
That's
outrageous,
crazy.
Yeah, wow. it's really you know, that's what. That's why a lot of times you hear people, you know, saying the startup costs in Japan are so much. I don't know if you've seen some of the jobs. They'll say, you know, you need to bring about $5,000 here to get started.
That's
and
why
they're really
– when I did get that offer to teach English a couple of years ago. That's why I had to turn it down because it was absurd. First, they weren't going to pay for airfare, and then it was like they weren't going to pay me. I was supposed to fly out in late March and then I would not get paid until mid-May. And so it was like I had to spend, you know, a buttload of money.
Yeah.
And it was like literally $5,000 is exactly how much I had in the bank. And that's how much I had. That's how much my wife and I had in the bank. So it was just like, well, I can't do this because I'll leave my wife with nothing. So.
Well, and they usually do pay a month later. And they usually, you know, they only pay once a month. Like it's, you know, in the States, a lot of jobs are twice a month. But yeah, I've gotten, when I first came here, I would run out of money. Yeah. And it would be like, I'd still have like 2 weeks left. And I was like, you know, borrowing money from my coworkers to eat. It's like I had more month than money, you know, wow. But, you know, you learn to, you know, I mean, now I've gotten used to it, of course, but, yeah. But it really is a lot to start up. And I think it's one reason that a lot of, you know, younger Japanese people don't, you know, get their own place so fast because the startup costs are really big. Mm-hmm. And it's also hard once you get into a contract to get out, right. You know, like if you sign for a year, it's a pain. It really is. But I mean, people do it all the time. So,
yeah.
And I do see it changing. There's more, especially as the economy has been in a little bit of a slump, mm-hmm. and, you know, people are not, you know, moving into new apartments and stuff and they're sitting empty, you know, more real estate agents are willing to, you know, negotiate lower the deposit and key money. And, you know, I'm seeing more of that, but it's still, you know, it's still the basic system. So that's another factor.
Yeah.
And I think every time I've had to move here, it's really been a situation where my work location changed, mm-hmm. and I had to move very fast and I had a very short time, mm-hmm. to, you know, look at places, find a place. And then, you know, it's a pretty big decision if you're talking about, like, you know, $4,000 just to spend at one time, you know, just to get started, mm-hmm. you know. So
cool. I mean,
it's always
cool,
been pretty. Yeah. It's always been pretty stressful, but you know, I've actually always managed to do it. So
it sounds like the number one tip for people thinking about living in Tokyo or really anywhere in Japan is, you know, save up a lot of money ahead of time.
Yeah, bring half the stuff and twice the money.
Wow. Jeez.
But you know, once you get started, a lot of it, but there's a lot of startup cost. I mean, I remember, you know, I was saying to someone like, oh, well, my rent is a little bit, you know, too expensive. I should have got a cheaper place. And I was saying, maybe I should move. And they were saying, you know, no, it's really not that big a deal. The big deal was the startup, you know, like that's what's the killer, like,
wow.
You know, getting started. So, but I'm looking around and like I said, there are some deals right now, like, especially if you know what you're doing, but yeah, getting started here. Now there is another option lately. There's a lot of guest houses.
Mm.
Which is something that I have considered, you know, I've considered living in a guest house for a while and saving up some money. But this is like, you know, you don't have your own bathroom, you're sharing. It's kind of like, but with those, there's usually no startup costs.
Huh.
But, you know, the downside is obviously, you know, there's, you know, you don't have to share a bedroom with people. Of course, you have a private room,
right.
But sharing a bathroom just sounds unimaginable to me because I haven't done that since like undergraduate.
It's very strange for Americans to think about sharing bathrooms. There are hotels in Europe that will have like communal bathrooms like down the hall, and I always thought that was bizarre. And I've never stayed at one, but I've heard about them, and I'm like, ooh, don't want to.
I stayed in a hostel in Prague in the Czech Republic, and I actually it was my first time doing that, and what happened was I was staying in this really expensive hotel, and I went to the center of the city, and there was this hostel, and it was just right in the heart of where I wanted to be, and it was just so cheap. I thought, you know, this is crazy. I'm paying like 10 times, you know, what I would pay to, you know, but could I handle a shared bathroom? And it was weird because the place wasn't very crowded. I never even saw anyone else in the bathroom.
Wow.
So
maybe,
you know,
we're just overreacting.
Yeah, it was actually just I could have extended my trip like 2 weeks if I had been willing to stay in hostels, you know.
Yeah.
So,
but
I mean,
well,
you know, an onsen, that's a communal bath, right?
Yeah, but that's still, that kind of freaks me out too. And onsens are the what's the official definition? They're basically, is it just a hot spring?
It's a hot spring bath, and they have – well, they have the hot springs, but they also have sentos, which are community baths. And a lot of people that, you know, I guess in the old days, they didn't have a private bathroom in their home. They would just go to the community sento.
That's just
and take a bath. And there was a guy in my old neighborhood in Saitama, and he started a little restaurant. Mm-hmm. He opened a Thai restaurant. And he couldn't afford both an apartment and a restaurant. So he was actually living in, you know, in the restaurant, like, you know, sleeping there and just going to the sento next door, you know, to shower. Right. And yeah, so.
Yeah, for me and for, I think, Americans in general, we always tend to have the privacy issues and then like body issues and like, there's all sorts of reasons why I think Americans probably or Westerners probably don't enjoy the idea of sharing bathrooms. I mean, like I never even showered in gym class growing up when I was a kid. And it's just like, I'd shower with my clothes on if I could, you know,
Really? Yeah, well, you know, I kind of felt it was liberating, to go, you know, it's a little bit strange at first, but it was kind of, I don't know.
Yeah.
I enjoyed it. You know, I think the one time that I did feel strange was just going with Western friends sometimes. Like the few times that I did, usually I went with, you know, a Japanese friend, but but it was more awkward just because I wasn't used to that, you know, situation, you know, going with a friend from, you know, Australia or the United States or something, you know, like that was more weird. But you know, just being around a bunch of, you know, naked Japanese people that I didn't know.
Less weird.
Wasn't that big a deal. Huh. Yeah.
Interesting. All so, right. Well, maybe that's the way it'll be.
I don't know.
I don't know.
That may be the quote of the week. Being around a bunch of random naked Japanese people, hey, you know, no problem, but.
Okay. Unfortunately, we've actually cracked 30 minutes already. So we've got some kinks to work out with our podcasting structure. So let's go ahead and end this week's episode one of the Nibaka Gaikokujin.
Nibaka Gaikokujin.
Yes. And but this has been episode Ichiban. Number one. That's what that
number
means.
One.
Yes. And but next week
number one on jthepete.com.
Yes, j.thepete.com.
The number one podcast on jthepete.com.
The only one. that's the letter J, not J-A-Y. If you do jay.thepete.com, you get my puppet's website, and that's not right. that's a whole other thing. So next week, we'll talk about my experience doing classes. I took my first classes a couple of weeks ago started my first Japanese class ever. And, so we'll talk about that, get some more updates. Actually, will we get some more updates on the earthquake? Hopefully it will be not as big a concern, by next week. Let's hope. But we can talk about other stuff Japan related as well. But until next week, thanks for listening.
Yes, thank you. I really appreciate everyone that listened.
I forgot. Shout out to Tomzer1 on Twitter, buddy of mine, anime buddy of mine. Listened and said he enjoyed it quite a bit. He's a fellow Japanophile as well, and enjoyed our chat. Thank you for listening.
Thank you, Tom. Yes,
yes, and let us know what you think. Jeff is at twitter.com/escaperabbit, like it sounds, Escape Rabbit. And I'm
Escape Robin.
And I'm the Pete on Twitter. So let us know what you think. And give us topic suggestions. If there's any questions you have about Japan, maybe one of us can answer it. We're not really Baka Goku. if I can say it. Gai Goku.
Baka Gai Kokujin.
Gai Kokujin, yeah. Yes, we're not really idiot foreigners. We're kind of ignorant, but idiots just for fun. But definitely let us know what you think, and thanks for listening, and we'll see you next week. Ja ne.
Have a great week.
Yes, you too.